Hello, everyone, and welcome to another season, season 5, episode 1 of March to Madness here on the Overtime Sports Network. I am your host, Kyle Gagliardi, and I am joined by the usual suspects for this 2022-23 season. Aaron Oros to my right. Aaron, how are we doing this evening?
Doing well. College basketball is coming up, so I'm ready to go.
That is why we are here, Aaron, because college basketball is coming back. You got your Indiana shirt on. How are we feeling for the new season?
I'm scared because I have high expectations, and 99% of the time doesn't end well. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And we'll definitely talk about that later in the show, as that will be the conference we get into the most is the Big Ten. But you might have heard us laugh, and if you're watching on YouTube, you could see him wearing a sling. The man below us is Zach Nickel. Nickel, how are you doing?
I've been better, but not that bad. Just fracturing my elbow a little bit, but I'm not going to say how.
But I was going to say, do we want to tell the listeners how? We're going to keep
that
under wraps.
It's a freak accident, a little freak accident. But, yeah, college basketball is coming up. I can't believe – I feel like March just was just, like, around the corner. Like, summer just flew by, so basketball's back, and I'm excited for it.
This is the best time of the year when you got the NFL in the middle of the season, the NBA is back, college basketball is back, college football is heating up, all the sports are going on, but we obviously are only talking about college hoops here on this show. But the agenda, fellas, for this episode, episode number one, is pretty simple. With the college basketball season on the horizon, we are going to be giving our predictions for the major conference winners, and then we'll dive into the Big Ten, preview specifically that since we're all Indiana grads, and then we'll, you know, predict the rest from here on out. So let's get into it. Let's just start off with the AAC here. Aaron, I'll let you go first. How we'll do this is you're just going to give me your team that you think is going to win the conference. We won't spend too much time on it and maybe a little bit reason why. But you got Houston and Memphis, who are typically the teams that are going to draw the most attention in this conference. But do you see any other teams potentially taking them down in the AAC, or are you eyeing Memphis or Houston here?
I think I'm going to go with Houston. It's just, as much as I hate to say it, Calvin Sampson just got it under control there for that program. They just every year are right there. A lot of times they're in the top 10. I think until somebody wants to step up and dethrone them, Memphis was a train wreck.
Expectations last year that they did not live up to.
There with Penny Hardaway apparently paying players, and allegedly, I guess, or the Wiseman thing was proved true. But so until somebody wants to dethrone Houston, I can't see picking against them, especially to start off the year. I feel like they have to be the favorite. So pretty easy decision for me, I guess, to start the year to go with Houston.
Yeah, Nickel, before you go, if you're watching this on YouTube at a later date, you can see I'm wearing a March to Madness t-shirt. We do have t-shirts available on the onthemarkwrestlingpodcast.com. That is the website for that podcast, obviously. That is also a part of the Overtime Sports Network. So if you want a t-shirt, it's $25 over there, and you can rep the March to Madness tee at home. So, Nickel, are you going to go alongside Aaron here with Houston, or you got a different pick for us here in the AAC?
Yeah, I think the AAC has to be Houston. You know, last year I think the two teams you looked at were Houston and Memphis, and Memphis pretty much lost everybody. They have a totally different team, a whole bunch of transfers coming in. I just can't see them doing it this year. But, I like Houston. I mean, they went without Marcus Sasser for a lot of the season last year, and we're still, you know, one of the top teams. I think they were, they're a two-seed in the tournament, right?
Two-seed sounds right.
Yeah, so, you know, Calvin Sampson's been doing a good job at Houston, and this might be his best team coming in because they also get, you know, they're getting the recruits now. They have a top or a five-star prospect coming in Jairus Walker. It's, you know, it's rare that a team like Houston coming out of the AAC, you know, getting a top five recruit coming in. So that's huge. And, you know, I really like this team a lot. So they're definitely my favorite in the AAC.
Yeah, I'm going to make it a clean sweep. I got Houston as well. You brought up Walker, but they're returning most of their players, and they also added SMU point guard Kendrick Davis to the squad. Mm-hmm. You got a leader there, an experienced leader in conference. So I definitely think this is Houston's conference to lose. And obviously, you know, there could be an upset. We saw Providence in the Big East last year that not a lot of people predicted that ended up winning the Big East. But I don't see Memphis being able to dethrone Houston. So I'll make it easy. Us three are all going with Houston to win the AAC. So let's move on to the ACC, a more interesting conference. They kind of underperformed, I guess you could say, Nickel, I'll let you go first, as a whole in the regular season last year, but they turned it on when it mattered in March. And there's a lot of potential winners in this conference, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, North Carolina is the true favorites. They pretty much bring back everybody from last year's team that went to the national championship game. You know, Baycott is, you know, he's All-American, and Caleb Love's great point guard, RJ Davis, great shooting guard. And then, you know, they have Nance coming in from Northwestern. That's a huge get for transfer.
I forgot about him.
Because Brady Manick left. So this is a complete team. They have a great recruiting class coming in also. Headlined by Seth Trimble. He is a high top end, you know, four-star recruit. And then they also
related to Mello Trimble by chance. Do you know?
You know what? That's a good question. I was thinking the same thing. I didn't look it up or anything. So he might, but
not a common last name. I just figured I'd ask.
Yeah. He was, I think he's ranked like 27th or something in the top 100 recruits coming in this year. And then you also have Jalen Washington coming in too. He's out of actually Gary West. And I think, they were saying that he is probably the best three-point shooting big man coming in to the ACC recruiting-wise this year. So that's good to have. And, I mean, North Carolina might be slightly overrated just by seeing what they did in the regular season. They kind of turned it on and put it together. I'm kind of interested to see how their defense is going into this year with, you know, all those same players. But it's hard not to have them as the favorite in the ACC. I mean, you could go Duke. I know Virginia is a kind of a sneaky team this year, maybe, but I think North Carolina has to be the favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it wasn't North Carolina, who would it be? But you would probably say Duke or Virginia then.
I would probably say Duke, just because of, you know, they have three of the top five freshmen coming in, you know, they still return a couple of pieces, and Duke's always going to be up there, but North Carolina is going to be fun to watch this year.
Do you think, and this question can go towards both of you, do you think there's going to be any hangover, I guess, is a lack of a better word, for Duke this year without having Coach K? Or now that Shire's kind of been in that system for a while, they're going to be just fine?
I think they'll be fine. Honestly, they might have even a better team than they did last year, Duke, because, like I said, they have three of the top five recruits coming in, you know, that I don't think Coach K is going to make that huge of a difference. I mean, they're getting in the recruits still. So and then, like you said, with the ACC, they're not the best conference anymore. They're not even near it. So I think your only competitors, honestly, are North Carolina, Virginia. I mean, you might have Florida State be back on, you know, top tier level again. But I really don't see anything else. I think Syracuse fell off. So I think Duke is still always going to be up there.
Aaron, did you have any thoughts about the Coach K transition in the Shire, or not really?
I don't know. It might be slow to start, but, I mean, you saw what Lloyd did at Arizona when he left Gonzaga, first-year coach. They were a number one seed in the tournament. So, I mean, Duke's still getting the recruits they would get with Coach K, which was one thing that I was interested in seeing, if the brand of Duke that Coach K built would end up being bigger than Coach K himself. And at least in the first season, it seems like it, because they got three kids in the top five. And I'm pretty sure they had two kids in the top 25. I think they had five of the top 25 or 30 recruits.
Yeah, so Derek Lively, he's the big guy down low. They got Derek, I think, was it Derek White? He's from Monteverde. He went to school with Jalen Hufsefino and Malik Renew, and that's a great, you know, school. And then I forgot I think Kyle Filipowski or something like that, another big man. So I know, like, recruits, they're always hit and miss, especially coming in as freshmen. We saw that in the past with Duke teams and also, like, Kentucky teams. But I think this team will still be up there. And I wouldn't be surprised if Duke won the ACC. I mean, I don't think it's, like, a lock for North Carolina.
No, I don't think so either. I'll make it short and sweet, though, before you go, Aaron. I think it's North Carolina as well. It's a boring pick, but they're a national contender for a reason. I think we all were surprised when Armando Baycott decided to return to school. And then there was a lot of other big names that, you know, came back because I'm blanking on what the program is called, the NIL, right? NIL, that's a huge thing going on. And that's a big reason why I think these players are coming back for a year. So I'm going with North Carolina here, Aaron. Are you going to make it a clean sweep as well?
Clean sweep. I think one of the most underrated things about a team in college basketball is experience. And they're bringing back a ton of it. Like Nickel said, you add a couple young freshmen to the mix. I think that, I mean, they've done it before, so they know how to go through the grind. And and get through it. So it's going to be them and Duke. I honestly don't even think it's going to be close after that. I think it's going to be those two teams battling it out, and I'll go with the experienced team over the first head coach or first season of the new coach and a lot of the freshmen. So I am going with the Tar Heels as well.
Yeah, after looking into it too, Nickel, it looks like it's Filipowski. That's the big guy's name. 6'11". Yeah. And then Derek Lively is 7'1", 220 pounds. And I'm sure he's super athletic because he was the number one player coming out of high school. So that's going to be a treat to watch there in North Carolina. But we are going with the North Carolina Tar Heels to win the ACC. Hopefully we got some different answers here on the next conference because it's just boring if we're agreeing on all these picks. Let's go to the Big 12, Aaron. I'll let you go first because the Big 12 is usually in the conversation for the best conference in college basketball. They have the reigning champion, Kansas Jayhawks, but do you think they are going to win the Big 12 this year?
I don't. I'm going with Baylor. I'm going to go with the team that won the national championship for them. They returned Cryer, who, I mean, was hurt like all year. It was like their best shooter and had that foot injury where he had like three surgeries. But he's back. You get Flagler back. And then you get Keontae George, who a lot of people think is the best. He's going to be the freshman of the year in the Big 12. He's a game changer. You know, and then you got Drew, who's proven to be one of the best coaches in college basketball. I just love Baylor. I love the way every year Drew's got a good team that he puts together, and I like the way they play. So I think I'm going to go with Baylor there just because Kansas lost a lot. And now, granted, they have another good recruiting class, but at the same time, they lost a lot of people. And Baylor has a handful of guys coming back with experience, so I'm going with the Baylor Bears.
So we aren't going to have a sweep here because I do have a different pick. But, Nickel, you go next. Who do you have
winning the Big 12? I have Baylor also. So keep it short. Like
you guys are boring.
Cryer coming back. I mean, Flagger. There's Keontae George coming in. I think this might be the best backcourt in college basketball coming in this year. I mean, this might be just as good as the team 2 years ago. And then they have some transfers coming in, and Jalen Bridges from West Virginia. He, you know, averaged 10 points in West Virginia last year. You know, you could go probably between three or four teams in the Big 12 next year, but I really like Baylor. I think this Baylor team is going to be really good because I think there's a team that could be better than last year's Baylor team. And last year's Baylor team got a number one seed. So I think they're going to be really good, and I think they'll win the Big 12.
That's a program that just emerged into a powerhouse over the past decade.
It's insane. Yeah, because they were very bad before Drew took over, too. Like, they were never winning whatsoever.
You know, a team that wasn't bad, they just never got over the hump until they brought in a rivals head coach, Chris Beard, I think his name is. I'm going with the Texas Longhorns to win the Big 12. This might be a little bit of a wild card pick, but the favorites don't always win the regular season conference play. They're returning mostly everyone on their roster, including three all-conference players, and they signed a few five-star recruits. They're going to have an early eye test against Gonzaga there in the non-conference schedule, but I think they got what it takes to surprise some people, win the conference, and even make a run come March. What are your guys' thoughts on Texas?
So I actually like Texas coming in. They have a ton of talent. We saw it last year. A lot of those guys are staying. You know, like you mentioned, the five-star recruit, Dylan Mitchell, coming in. The reason I didn't pick on the win the Big 12 is that their three-point shooting is, like, it's really bad. I mean, their leader, I think, was Marcus Carr last year, averaging 32%. And after that, there was no one even close. And I think that's why they struggled so much last year, especially in the offensive end, because they just couldn't hit their threes. You know, great defense, just can't hit their threes. And, you know, they didn't bring in a lot to, you know, help that because they got Hunter from Iowa State, that great freshman last year, but he was not a great three-point shooter either. So that's why I like Baylor better than the Texas. But that I think you could go, you know, Baylor, Kansas, or Texas as top of the Big 12.
Yeah, we barely even talked about Kansas, Aaron. Obviously, you know, winning the national championship, they're bringing back some of their key guys. Is this a championship contending team once again, or are they going to take a step back?
Well, I mean, I think, again, comes down to the impact that the freshmen are going to have. I mean, they lost a lot from last year. You lost Remy Martin, you lost Braun, you obviously lost Abaji.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, you lost
McCormick.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, you lost a ton of key players. So, and, you know, it's Kansas. They're one of the best programs in the country. I think it's just going to ultimately become you know, can the new guys live up? And then, of course, you know, you win the national championship. You know, the Big 12, I think, is the best conference in college basketball. I think it has been for the last few years. So, I mean, it's just a dogfight. So I think in that conference, experience is sort of a big factor there. And I just think that Baylor has more of it. So who knows? Speaking it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Bill Self in Kansas is one of the best programs in the country, and he's one of the best coaches.
Bill Self.
So
yeah, speaking of experience, one team to watch out for in the Big 12 too that we haven't talked about is TCU. They literally return everybody that, you know, took Arizona down to the wire last year in the tournament. Yep. They're bringing some shooters in also. I like TCU this year. So if TCU is up there with Kansas, Texas, and Baylor, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever.
So if you're a betting man and you want to, you know, get a little risky, maybe sprinkle a little bit of money on TCU, surprising everyone and winning the Big 12? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure in the preseason AP top 25, they're like 16 or something. So it's not like they're kind of a sleeper. They're up there.
Yeah, and you guys talked about the names coming in from Kansas. They got four freshmen, Grady Dick being the number one recruit. He plays a small forward for them. You also have MJ Rice, Ernest Adu Jr., and Zubi Ejiofor. I probably butchered the hell out of those names, and they also got a transfer from Texas Tech and Kevin McCullough. So just like Chris Beard coming from Texas Tech to Texas, or sorry, that doesn't make sense because we're not talking about Texas. We're talking about Kansas, but he is going to Kansas then. So there is the Big 12. Let's move over to the Big East. And I talked about how Providence surprised a lot of teams winning that conference last year. And now you have Jay Wright, who has retired from Villanova. So in a sense, you could say the Big East could be up for grabs this year here.
Yeah, it could be. I was kind of reading into it, and, you know, is Villanova going to take a step back? Because, I mean, Jay Wright was, by many, considered the best coach in college basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and Villanova, I mean, he's built a powerhouse there. But there were a lot of good supporting arguments that, you know, Jay Wright's been contemplating retirement for a few years. So I don't think that he would have, and him and the Villanova program would have put somebody in charge that they didn't fully trust can just keep the thing going. I think they're going to be right there, but I'm going to go with the hot pick, or it might not be the hot pick, but I'm going to go with the Creighton Jays.
Hmm.
You know, they return a lot of starters. You bring back Nimbard, and then you get the South Dakota State transfer, Shireman, who was like 16-8-4 at San Diego State. I mean, he shot like 51% from the field, and he's really good.
South Dakota State.
Yeah, South Dakota State, sorry.
Yeah.
He said it the first time.
That was your team last year, too.
Yeah.
You like them going into the tournament.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they lost the first game.
They did. Bet their money line in that first game, brutal, too. I was feeling it as well.
But I think Nova's going to be right there, too. I don't think that that's going to be as big of a transition as people might think. But I'm going to say Creighton gets it done. And they go ahead and win the Big East. So we'll see what happens. But I'm liking the Creighton Jays. I mean, they couldn't shoot the ball to save their life and almost took out Kansas. I mean, they literally could not shoot to save their life.
Ask David about that game.
Yeah, right. Ask I will. Yeah.
RIP to David's $510 or whatever it was.
Yeah. I mean, they were dropping like flies too, health wise, during that tournament, and they showed grit. So I think they're going to take it.
McDermott's team's got grit. Nickel, are you going to agree with Aaron here in the Big East?
Yeah, I'm going to go. This is another like lame pick, but I like Creighton, especially with Villanova. I mean, I think Villanova is still going to be a good team, but I just don't know, you know, with losing Jay Wright, losing Colin Gillespie, what kind of, you know, they have a great recruiting class coming in, but I don't know. I think it's just going to take some time for them to build that relationship with that new coach. So I think it's Creighton's time. I mean, they, like Aaron says, they have South Dakota State transfer coming in. That was the Summit League Player of the Year. They were, you know, returned five of the top seven scorers. They looked feisty in the tournament. They actually had a terrible start of the year last year too.
They did.
Really turned it around. I like, you know, we keep talking about experience. This is an experienced team, so I like Creighton winning the Big East.
This is definitely going to be a wild card pick, and I can make these kind of picks. So I'm just the host. You guys are the color commentators in this situation. You know, let's just get weird. I'm going with Xavier. I got Jack Nungy and Jerome Hunter going to lead the Musketeers to a conference championship. And that might be a crazy pick because they're also bringing in a brand new coach. Sean Miller is now the coach. So maybe they won't choke in the last few months of the season like they have been the past couple of years, which is why they probably got rid of their previous coach.
Would it discourage you? Do scrimmage games discourage you? Because apparently they lost by 20 to like some small Bible school in scrimmage.
Was it the game on Xavier a Sunday?
Did. Yeah.
Xavier was it the game on a Sunday, though? That's the question. Because if you lose to a Bible school on a Sunday, it's okay.
Xavier's a religious school, so.
I know. Well,
that doesn't help.
I saw that people were commenting.
I did not see that.
I don't know if it was Rothstein or it was they were commenting on an IU or an IU guy was commenting like that they play Xavier and apparently Xavier lost by 20 to some like no name small school. But I don't take anything in scrimmages, so I was just like.
Xavier was my Big East pick last year. I thought they were going to be a nice sleeper team, but and they looked good at the start of the year, and then they just wheels fell off. I don't know what happened there. So I don't mind that pick. Let's see what Sean Miller's effect can have on that program.
It just depends on how much he's going to be paying these guys to come to their school. Yeah. That's really
DeAndre Ayton's going to get wiretapped to come play for Xavier for like $100,000.
Could be the difference. Could be. Speaking of scrimmages, meaning stuff, there's a team in the SEC that defeated the Gonzaga Bulldogs in a scrimmage by 19 points about a week ago. Nickel, let me go to you first on this conference because this isn't just a football conference anymore. The SEC is once again loaded with good teams this year. So who are you liking to come out on top?
Yeah, the SEC is definitely a huge, you know, basketball conference now. I like a lot of teams in this conference. It was hard for me to pick a team here. But you know what? I'm going to go with the Tennessee Volunteers.
Speaking of the team campus, that destroyed Gonzaga.
Yeah, campus is vibing right now with the football team being so good, and I think it's going to roll right into basketball season. They're returning four of their top five scorers. Santiago Viscochi and Jordan James from a team that won the SEC tournament and getting a three seed. And I think, their problem last year was shooting the ball also, but they also bring in a five-star wing, Julian Phillips, who's been a great shooter in high school. So I think that's going to help out a lot. And I think this is just another team that has experience. And I like a team like this over a team like, you know, say Kentucky, who, you know, bring in those top, you know, recruits and can't do anything and lose to a team like St. Peter's. So I like Tennessee.
We definitely all can agree, fuck Kentucky. As IU grads, we are not big fans. But, hey, we do get to renew our rivalry with Kentucky in a couple years. So that's some exciting news. Aaron, I'll go right before you. What do you got, Nickel?
Speaking of Kentucky, they did play their practice game last night against, like, Western Missouri State. They only scored 58 points against them. They won. They won, like, 58-39, but only 58 points against a small school like that. That's pretty bad, so – I don't know. I think Calipari's a little overrated.
Yeah, I think we would agree with you there. A guy that I don't think is overrated at all is Eric Musselman at Arkansas. So I'm going to go with Arkansas to win the SEC. They've done a tremendous job making this program great, and they're adding three top 15 freshmen. And you have Nick Smith, who is projected lottery pick. He's going to be a big
number one pick. Some people are saying
that. You also have Anthony Black, Jordan Walsh. There's a lot of names coming in. And they always get their transfers. They got five transfers, you know, coming from smaller programs. So it's going to take, once again, I think, a little bit of adjustment period for them to mesh, like always. But as we saw towards the later part of the season last year, Arkansas started to figure things out and became a threat like they usually are the past couple of years with Musselman leading the charge. So I think the Arkansas Razorbacks are going to come out on top in the SEC this year.
Well, I think we're finally going to have our three difference because I'm going with Kentucky. For the first time in 40 years, the Wooden Award winner comes back to school, and
which is huge. That is huge.
Literally. Wheeler, and then you have Wheeler got hurt in that scrimmage game, and there's no Oscar Shebe, hasn't been playing.
I
think Wheeler's a stud. And then the big impressor is Toppin. Obi Toppin's younger brother apparently has been killing it.
Take that huge leap, yeah.
And then, of course, they add two top 15 recruits. You get C.J. Frederick from Iowa, which is a big transfer. Again, experience. You bring back the Wooden Award winner. I think they're pretty pissed off after that loss to St. Peter's. And I, granted, Kentucky would never in a million years fire John Calipari, but I think he's feeling the heat a little
starting
bit.
Starting to light the flame. Yeah.
I think it's getting a little warmer.
Kentucky fans are like, all right.
They just owe him too much money.
It's been like, all right, what's going on here? We need to, I mean, because you as a Kentucky program losing to St. Peter's, that's just bananas. But I just think that I think Kentucky is at their best, especially recently when they have experience. And I think they're bringing back a lot of it. And like I said, I think they're going to be motivated. I think Coach Cal is going to be motivated. This conference is going to be brutal. I mean, we haven't even talked about Alabama, who, you know, wouldn't surprise me if they won the conference either. Tennessee is going to be the best defensive team in the country. A lot of people think. I mean, they are going to be a problem.
I agree.
Of course, Arkansas, nobody, you know, Musselman always had a bunch of transfers that he brings in and just makes it work. I think he'll make all those freshmen work too. But if you're asking me right now, if I had to put my mortgage on it, I'm just going to go with Kentucky. I'll go with the experience, the team that's been there. So we got ourselves three different teams.
Let's not put your mortgage on it. You got a wedding coming up next year.
Yeah, that's well, I won't, but I'm not, but hypothetically.
I think that conference is going to be great.
They're definitely going to be much watched television once they get to conference play. And they obviously are going to be featured in these top non-conference matchups as well. So Aaron's going with the Kentucky Wildcats. Nichols going with, why am I blanking?
Tennessee.
And I'm going with Arkansas. So let's move over. We got three more conferences before we finish up with the Big Ten. And one of the least exciting conferences that we'll probably talk about this evening. The A-10 is headlined by the Dayton Friars. Nickel, who do you like coming out on top in this conference?
Yeah, Dayton, I think they were, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if they're ranked 25th or just outside the top 25 in the AP poll, but this is a team that's pretty much returning everybody to a team that just missed the tournament last year. They kind of fell off in the end, but I don't think they really have any other competition in this conference this year.
They're number 24, by the way.
24.
See, I think St. Louis might be there because St. Louis is bringing back, I believe, their top scorer and their like third or fourth top scorer. But and then the Bonnies, you know, their best player was Kenny Lofton. He's gone. They underachieved last year. He transferred to Florida. So I like Dayton. I mean, this is not like a Dayton team that's as good as what was it 3 years ago
with Obi
Toppin. So I don't think it's gonna be anything like that. But I think it's a good scoring team, and I like them for the A-10.
Aaron, you disagree. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm going with the Billikens, baby. St. Louis.
Okay. St. Louis.
You know, they're coming back experienced. They have Yuri Collins, who I think is the best point guard in the conference.
Yeah, he's good.
You get Javon Pickett, transfer from Missouri, average 12 a game. It's going to be them or Dayton, I would think. Because, I mean, the Bonnies fell off big time. But I like St. Louis a lot. They're bringing back experience. You got the leader at point guard. You bring in a transfer that can score double digits. I'm liking the Billikens. And you kind of alluded it to earlier. It's kind of a caveat, but how bad do you feel for Dayton when they had the number 4 team in the country and the tournament gets
COVID.
By COVID?
Oh, yeah. So only brutal. Chance probably to win it all. Oh, yeah.
The only chance maybe ever in your program's history, or at least in the next whatever billion years. And
For sure.
And that's brutal. But, yeah, I like the Billikens. I'm all in on St. Louis this year.
I'm all in on St. Louis for baseball, but not for college basketball. We're going to go different again. All three of us are going to be different because I want to keep being weird. Let's get weird. And I'm going with VCU, a team that nobody's even brought up. You got Zeb Jackson and Brandon Johns Jr. who have transferred over from Michigan to join Baldwin, Nunn, and Watkins. It's an upset pick for sure. But I think they got a little something going there, and it's not a strong conference. I think they'll be able to, you know, sneak a win against Dayton, maybe even against St. Louis. So I'm going to go with another dark horse. I'm going to go with VCU here.
They've got an identity. They like to play
hard-nosed
defense.
Yeah. They're scrappy. They're just a total complete team, though. That's their problem. But we'll see. I think they're a good defensive team. But
if there was any conference for it to be up for grabs, I think it would be this one.
Yeah. Oh, easily. I think so. Yeah, easily. For sure.
I wouldn't say the same, though, about the Pac-12. Let's move over to the Pac-12 because the Arizona Arizona and UCLA are headlining this conference as the betting favorites right now. And I'd make an educated guess that we are probably all going to be deciding between those two teams. Nickel, would that be correct?
No. So I'm going to get weird in this conference.
Here we go.
I'm going to get a little. It is a top 25 team right now, so it's not like it's crazy, but I like Oregon this year. And I know they missed the tournament last year. They had a down year. But they returned three of their top six scorers, including Will Richardson, which he's a stud last year. And then they bring a five-star recruit in Khalil Ware. He's a big guy down low. And then they have a JUCO All-American transfer, and Tyrone Williams coming in as a great shooter. And then Colorado transfer Keyshawn Bathurmy, which was the second leading scorer at Colorado this year or last year. So they have a lot of new guys coming in. To help those, you know, top three scorers from last year. So I definitely think they're going to make the tournament. And look at the Pac-12 last year. I think a lot of people had either Arizona 5 or 6, and they won the Pac-12 last year. So I think the same thing can happen this year with a team like Oregon, which a lot of people have them 3. So, I mean, Arizona, you know, they lost Mathurin. He was a huge piece last year. UCLA, I just never know about them. I think, you know, they could be great one game and then just totally suck the next. So I'm going to go kind of a little dark horse in this conference and say Oregon.
And these are the games I usually hate watching because Bill Walton's on commentary and I just mute my fucking TV.
And or it's very late.
I'm a little buzzed up, on the weekend watching the games at night, you know. Total caveat, this does have to do with college, but I found this very surprising. The college football playoff rankings came out. Tennessee's number 1. Ohio State is number 2, Georgia is number 3, and Clemson right now is number 4 over Michigan and Alabama.
Wow.
That's pretty shocking.
That is pretty shocking. I figured Michigan – well, yeah. Well, I mean, Michigan could prove it Saturday.
So yes, they can.
Big game coming up. Wait, it is a college show, so we can still talk about football. I'm sure there's some college football fans out there. Nickel, you brought up Arizona. No more Mathurin. No problem for me. I think Tommy Lloyd did a fantastic job as the first-year head coach winning the conference last year. You talked about them having low expectations. They exceeded those expectations, and I think they're going to repeat this year. You have a half a dozen players with 20 or more minutes still returning. I know Mathurin's a huge loss because he is, you know, very successful so far in his NBA career. But
oh, yeah, for sure.
I still think it is their conference to lose. So I'm going to go with the Arizona Wildcats here.
Wow. We're keeping the difference makers going. I'm going with the Bruins.
Nice. Right,
yeah.
Okay. I'm going with UCLA. I mean, you bring back Tiger Campbell, your point guard. Jaquez Jr. is a preseason All-American. And then two top 20 recruits headlined by the guy who a lot of people think is going to be freshman of the year, Amari Bailey. So, you know, I do agree with Nickel. It's been kind of strange with them because they've been ranked so high the past couple years with Mick Cronin as their head coach. And some days you get a UCLA team you don't even recognize, and then you get a team that you think can win the national championship. It's bizarre all world. But I think they're going to get it this year. Again, they bring back experience, which is pretty important. Jaquez Jr., obviously, first-team All-American. And then you get Amari Bailey, who I think is going to make a big impact. Mick Cronin likes to, you know, defensive imprint. That's a big thing. He's an intense guy. So I just think, I mean, Arizona.
What does Oakley think?
Yeah, he said UCLA. But that's another one that wouldn't surprise me. Like, I like Nickel's Oregon pick. They're up and coming, especially with next year's recruiting class too coming in. So
They got they got that KJ Evans from Harvard. Dane Altman had a down year last year. I like them to rebound, make the tournament again. I think they're gonna be a good team.
Monteverde, whatever I think you want to call it. They're like a basketball factory.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I think it's those top threes in the Pac-12, though, and really no one else.
I was doing a lot of reading. Stanford is a team, apparently.
With Harrison, I believe his name is. Yeah. Ingram Harrison or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, they could be sneaky good, but
we'll see.
I think it's the three teams, and that's about it.
Yeah.
All right, so that's good. You know, we were picking a lot of the same at the beginning, but we're starting to differ. We're not going to differ on this conference.
No.
This is the last one before we go to the Big Ten breakdown. We all are, I'm assuming, going Gonzaga, correct?
Yeah.
But if there were to be another team, and maybe not even to dethrone Gonzaga, but to make the tournament and maybe make some noise, is there any other teams that stand out to you guys here in the WCC? Because for me, it's nobody else. I think it's just Gonzaga.
I think if it was a year to do it, it was last year with St. Mary's. I thought BYU was going to be up there a little bit last year too, but they kind of fell off. No, I think it's Gonzaga and everything. I mean, I think this Gonzaga team's just going to be just as good as last year's. I mean, I know they lose Chet Holmgren, but they bring Timmy back. They bring Julian Stoutwater back. They have a, you know, couple transfers coming in. So I think they're just going to be just as good as last year. So I think it's Gonzaga and no one else. I don't think that St. Mary's team is going to be as good as last year. I don't know much about them. San Francisco. I thought they lost some too. They were senior heavy team because San Francisco was in the tournament last year. You had BYU, you had St. Mary's and Gonzaga. I don't think they get four teams in this year.
Hey, no way.
Yeah, no. It's Gonzaga, and that's really about it. I mean, they own this conference.
Do you think Gonzaga has what it takes to make another run this year?
Yes.
Yeah, they got the talents there. It's always not there.
Isn't Timmy back?
Yes.
Yeah, Timmy's back. So, I mean, like I said, the only one you really lost last year was, you know, Holmgren, which, I mean, yeah, it's a big loss, but they – you know, Hickman, he was a freshman last year. He was kind of behind, you know, he was coming off the bench. I think he's going to take a huge step forward. And then Anthony Watson, too. He was another freshman last year that I think is going to take a huge step forward. And then, you know, with Timmy, yeah, I mean, he's a beast down low. Like, I think this is his fifth year. So, I mean, Gonzaga, I think, are the second best or second favorites right now after North Carolina. So, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure. So we are going to finish off episode one with a Big Ten preview, and how we are going to be doing this is we're going to go team by team. You're going to tell me where you think you have them finishing, because we have a lot of similar teams in our top five for the Big Ten conference. So afterwards, too, we will give a team that's not in our top five that could potentially play spoiler in the conference. So let's start off with a team we talk about a lot, the Purdue Boilermakers, who I personally have finishing fifth in the Big Ten Conference. It should be a quote-unquote down year for them, but after losing Jaden Ivey, you know, but they still have Zach Edey down low, Mason Gillis to help him out, and maybe Brandon Newman takes that extra step. They're always going to be competitive under Matt Painter. How do we feel about this year's Purdue Boilermaker team, Nickel?
I think it's a weird team to gauge because you lose Jaden Ivey, you lose Sasha Stefanovic, great three-point shooter, you lose Trevion Williams down low. So they lost a lot. You know, they lost three of their top four scorers, but, you know, you bring back Zach Edey, you know, he's a beast down low. I think the big question is how much minutes he can play, because last year he averaged about 19 minutes per game. And, you know, all these podcasts I've been listening to and stuff like that, they're saying, oh yeah, Edey's now going to get, you know, 27, 28 minutes a game with Williams gone. I don't know if he could sustain that.
Is he built for that?
Exactly. So, like, I think that's a huge question. I don't think he gets above 25 minutes a game. And then you've got to also look who's going to be their scorer after that. Because there's a lot of guys that could take over, you know, one of those spots for like Jaden Ivey or as a shooting guard or something like that. But I just don't know who's going to be. You got to think of like Mason Gillis, Caleb First, Brandon Newman, Ethan Morton. I just can't see any of those guys really being a, you know, double-digit scorer consistently. And then big point guard questions. You know, they lose Isaiah Thomas to Florida Gulf, and they lose Eric Hunter to Butler. Those are their two point guards last year. And then you bring in this transfer from Utah. I think his name is David Jenkins or something like that. He only averaged 8 points a game last year in the Pac-12. I don't know how big of an impact he's going to have in the Big Ten. So I think there's just a lot of questions. I still think they're a tournament team. Not sure if they're a top 25 team.
And you brought up Sasha actually a year ago today. We got to sit down and interview him before the season. So hope he's doing well. He's playing professional ball over in Greece right now, I believe. But Aaron, first, Nickel, by the way, where did you have Purdue in your standings?
I would put them probably fifth in the Big Ten.
Okay.
Like I said, I there's a couple teams I would move around with in that area. I would say probably though Purdue is my fifth.
So a tournament team. Ten.
Yeah, like I said, I think they're a tournament team. I just don't think they're a top 25 team in the country.
Aaron, what are your thoughts on this Purdue team this year?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to have them higher than both. I have them finishing third in the Big Ten. And I just think off the bat, I think Matt Painter and the program deserves the benefit of the doubt just because they've legitimately been really solid for the last handful of years. I think Edey has a chance to win Big Ten Player of the Year. I think he has the potential to put up the numbers to do so because he's just an anomaly.
He was almost a double-double a game last year.
Oh, yeah.
He's only averaging 19 minutes, you know. Yeah. So.
And I do agree with your guys' point. Can he handle the workload of, you know, 25, 26, 27 minutes?
Being the guy.
And in my opinion, I think even if he only plays like 22, 23 minutes, I think he's still, you know, he's going to still put up 20 a game. He's actually a really good free throw shooter. I mean, he's going to get fouled a lot. He's just an anomaly. He's like Coburn was, just an anomaly that's just going to be impossible to guard. The scoring questions are interesting. I think Caleb first takes a step forward. And then you have Trey Kaufman, too, who's going to be sliding in there as well. In my opinion, I mean, the Big Ten, I think, is down this year, big time. I mean, they lost a ton of star power, but
also the conference with the biggest national championship drought.
Right, and it's going to continue too. But I'm just giving the program the benefit of the doubt, just because if the conference was loaded, it would be a different story. But with the conference being down and how well Matt Painter and the program just has been the last handful of years, I would give them the benefit of the doubt, and then you bring back some experience too. So. I have them third in the Big Ten. I have them obviously making the tournament. They might float around the top 25 here and there, but even if they're not, I still think they're a tournament team.
Purdue's one of those teams, though, in the Big Ten that I would not be surprised if they go as high as third place, but if they're like 7 or 8 too, I also wouldn't be surprised. I just don't know what to think of
scoring. It's the scoring. I think they're
just huge wild card.
Yeah, it is. And if there are a couple guys that step up and start scoring points, then it wouldn't surprise me if they're right up there, you know?
And we're probably being generous too, but that's the program's history and Matt Painter's done to the program.
Right, exactly.
Their defense has to get better, though. Their defense has to get a lot better than last year's because they had the offense. I think they were like top one or one or two in offense efficiency all year, and then defense, they were like 90-something. So I don't think that same offensive power is going to be there this year with Jaden Ivey gone and Sasha gone and Trevion Williams gone, so – the defense really needs to get better.
Yeah,
for sure. So let's move on to the Ohio State Buckeyes. They are not in my top five, but I know you guys have some thoughts on this year's Buckeye team. It's a team that's kind of expected to be, you know, middle of the pack towards the upper echelon. But Aaron, where do you see this Buckeyes team ended up?
Yeah, this was tough. So I won't give too much away, but I was fighting with them being my 5-6 spot. Just because, you know, you lose EJ Liddell, who's, I mean, a beast. And, you know, they have a good recruiting class, but it's a bunch of different parts that are coming in, young guys coming in. They do bring in Tanner Holden, though, is all Horizon, first team all Horizon League. They're just bringing in a lot of young guys, a couple transfers. They got McNeil, too, from West Virginia. So it's just going to be a lot of moving parts, but like I said, the Big Ten's down this year. I think eventually they're going to be figuring it out. And I have them finishing 5th. I put them at number 5 in my Big Ten standings. I just think there'll be enough talent there to make it work. So
that's right. Nickel, do you have the Buckeyes in your top 5, or is this potentially a
sleeper? No, I have them just outside at 6. I think this is another team that just has way too many questions, you know, especially losing Liddell. And Bronham too. He was, you know, he was a freshman last year. He got drafted. I'm pretty sure he was a lottery pick. But this is also a team that has the 8th best recruiting class coming in. They have no 5-stars coming in, but they have a lot of mid-tier top 100 recruits, like in the 40s and 50s. They have like 4 of them. So if, you know, if one or two of those ends up being like quality, you know, gets quality minutes, they could be better than what people think. Also, you know, Zed Key, decent piece down low. You know, he has another year under his belt. I think he's gonna rise. And then, you know, last year they were missing Justice Suing for most of the year. And, you know, if he comes back and played like he did 2 years ago, that's, you know, that's a big get for Ohio State. And then they have a point guard coming in from I believe Oklahoma State, Lakeel. Something like that. So he averaged like, I think, 10 points a game for Oklahoma State last year. Turned the ball over a little bit too much, a little too inconsistent, but they need a point guard. So got him. Like I said, Ohio State, it's a huge wild card team. I could see them kind of being a sleeper in the Big Ten and maybe getting, you know, a top 3 spot and, you know, making some noise in the Big Ten tournament. But I would have them like my 6th best team in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah, I'm not high on Ohio State this year, and it's probably just because of the question marks that you brought up, Nickel. So I don't really have much to say other than I'm not big on the Buckeyes in 2022-2023. But a team that I'm somewhat big on is a team that usually is towards the top of the Big Ten, and that's the Michigan State Spartans. They have a very strong backcourt going into this season, and obviously Tom Izzo's still there. But I worry about their size, but it's always hard to count out a team like Michigan State, Aaron. How do you see the Michigan State Spartans performing this year?
See, I was in a very tough spot, so I don't have them in my top five. I actually have them six.
They're number four on mine, for the record, number four.
Okay, so again, I look at this Izzo team, and I don't think it's anywhere close to some of the normal really good teams that he has. Now, granted, the conference is down, and the one thing that I was mulling over as a benefit for them, I think in their first 3 weeks, they play Kansas, Alabama, Gonzaga, and Kentucky.
Jesus.
In their first three weeks. So you can look at the half or the glass half full that they're going to be coming into the Big Ten prepared. I mean, they are going to be prepared. So you can look at it that. And they can perform well. I don't know. For whatever reason, I just think this is going to be a down year for Michigan State. They have a loaded recruiting class next year, where I think maybe then they were, load up again and go after at the top of the conference. But I could be totally wrong here. I just think they're going to be middle of the pack come tournament time, maybe be on the bubble, maybe, just get in. I just, for whatever reason, am not high on Michigan State this year. Now, I can obviously eat my words, but we'll see. I don't know. Just nothing just flashes.
No, nothing stands out about this team, but I mean, with Izzo leading the charges, the reason John Rothstein says January, February, Izzo. And that's why I think they're just still going to be in the conversation here. But Nickel, what are your thoughts on the Spartans going into this year?
Yeah, I feel the same way about Michigan State, like kind of how Aaron said about Purdue, having a down year for the Big Ten. They lost their top three scorers in Gabe Brown, Marcus Bingham Jr., and Max Christie. But they have probably maybe the best backcourt in the Big Ten.
I think so.
DJ Hogarth and Tyson Walker. So, but you said, Kyle, the height is kind of a question. I think Joey Hauser might be playing their five spot, which
they don't have good
bigs. Really good sign. Yeah, I mean, he's 6'8", and he's been kind of struggling over the years. He's nothing like his brother was. So they need a recruit. His name's Jackson Hayes to really step up. I think he's 6'10". I think he's a top 45 recruit or something like that. I think he's in the 40s. But he's really going to have to step up down low, because that's the one thing that worries about me. But I still think, also giving Tom Izzo the benefit of the doubt, that, in a weak Big Ten this year, they're still going to be up there. I was having a hard time, putting either Michigan State, because I have them at four, by the way. I was going to flip-flop them and Purdue, but I think they're two similar teams. I think, the one thing that Purdue has is the big man, and one thing that Michigan State has is the point guards and shooting guard play. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I think these last three teams that I definitely want to talk about before we discuss potential sleepers are going to be unanimous of sorts. We have at number three for me, I have Michigan, and that's who we're going to talk about here first. They got a lot of movement, going on with their roster after last season. But the main thing is that they have Hunter Dickinson returning, which is huge for them down low. Their defense definitely needs to get a little better if they're going to make some noise. But I think you got to keep an eye on Juwan Howard's son, Jet, as well. They just got him, just recruited him into Michigan. I think he's going to be a player there. So I got Michigan finishing third in the Big Ten. How do you feel about Michigan this year, Aaron?
Yeah, I had them at four. I think Dickinson, again, another guy who wouldn't surprise me if he's Big Ten player of the year. I mean, he's that good. Now, you guys can quote me if I'm wrong, but did they not expect both freshmen that they had last year to go to the draft?
No,
I don't think they did.
I think they figured at least Diabate would stay. Maybe right. Caleb Houston would have went, but yeah, both left. I think they were banking on one of those to return.
Right.
One of those guys to return, yeah.
But again, I think when you bring back a guy that you can rely on night in and night out in college basketball, that immediately adds so much value. So I have them at four. I think like Purdue, that'll be another team that can maybe make its way into the top 25, maybe linger outside in like the top 30 or 40 teams and make the tournament. But again, the conference is down. So again, it's another team I'm not really expecting much of, but I do have them in my top five.
Yeah, and maybe Hunter Dickinson will be a little distracted this year too. I believe he's got a podcast with Jordan Bohannon and Marty Mush now. Wow. So you got to keep an eye on that stuff off site. Yeah, that's, which podcast is better, us three or those three?
Yeah. Marty Mush makes his brain cell.
I gotta listen to that, see how it is.
Yeah, they're now that what was it, Benchmob? That used to be the one of the few college basketball podcasts I listened to. RIP to them. They just had a lot of good guests. Maybe we need to start bringing in some guests other than Sasha. What do we think?
Bring in Jacob Angel to talk about Purdue for an hour.
Jacob Angel. Yeah. He'll tell us that Brandon Newman is going to win Big Ten Player of the Year. He really
has his jersey. He has his jersey.
He has everyone's jersey. He's a weirdo. Yeah. Nickel, did you talk about Michigan? Yes, right?
No, but like Aaron said, I mean, I think I have them three. Yeah, I think I would have them three. They have a nice transfer coming in, Jalen Llewellyn from Princeton. He was actually a top 100 recruit that committed to Princeton for whatever reason. I don't know if he just wanted an education or what, but he's now going to Michigan. So I think that's going to be a great get at point guard. And then you talked about Jet Howard. A lot of people are saying he was really, really under recruited just because of his father. So because everybody thought he was just automatically going to Michigan. So they think he might be a potential to, you know, get Big Ten Freshman of the Year. And they also have Terrace Reed, another top 40 recruit coming in to back up Dickinson once he's out of the game. I think he's like a 6'10 or 6'11 power forward. So I like Michigan to still be a top 4 team in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah, and I think these two teams are going to be at the top of our list, Illinois and Indiana. Let's talk about the Fighting Illini first. They lose Kofi Coburn, but they gained a lot in his absence. You have Terrence Shannon from Texas Tech, Matthew Mayer from Baylor also joining the Illini. So it may take them a bit to mesh, sort of similar to what Arkansas has to deal with. But there's a lot of talent for this team to not be a contender in the Big Ten, let alone make a push in March. Wouldn't you say, Nickel?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be pretty much a new complete, you know, five out there for Illinois. I think they have one returning starter coming back in RJ Mendez. Coleman Hawkins, he's going to take over the minutes for Kofi Coburn. He was actually pretty good last year when Coburn was out. But like you said, you know, bringing some transfers, Terrence Shannon, he had some injury problems at Texas Tech, but very good player. And then Matthew Mayer, a little inconsistent, but he's a well-known name just because of that Baylor team 2 years ago. So I think he'll fit in pretty well. But and then you also have the freshman in Sky Clark coming in. He's the other big freshman that's coming in for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I think he actually played at Mount Verd too.
Not surprising.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Exactly. So I know, I think he tore either his ACL or something, or MCL or something, but he's working his way back. I think he said he'll be ready by December. But yeah, Illinois, total complete team. Just imagine, though, this team would be so much better if Coburn came back. I don't think he's on an NBA roster right now. So
I can look Coburn it up, but I don't think so.
Coburn probably should have came back, and this team would probably be the favorites to win the Big Ten if Coburn was still there. But
they would be my Coburn's pick.
Gone, so, yes, they need to replace his – because he was just a beast down low. He was really a good college player. I want to see how they replace that, because a lot of people have Illinois winning the Big Ten also. There is – quite a few people that really like Illinois this year, but I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it.
On July 11th, it said Kofi Coburn continues his run with the Utah Jazz while Malcolm Hill, blah, blah, blah. So he was in July signed to the Jazz, but Google says that he's a Jamaican professional basketball player. So I would assume he is no longer on a roster.
I don't think so. I think he was on a summer league team and that's it. So
that is probably the case.
Not even playing basketball right now.
Where do you have Illinois ending up in the
Big Ten? I have them two.
Me too, which will leave us with a team we definitely are going to talk about. But Aaron, where do you have the Illini shaken up?
I mean, we could save the time for the team of the hour, I guess. But I for all the same reasons, I have Illinois too. Again, it's just you bring in a bunch of different pieces. So again, I think that just takes time to mesh, and they're going to be right up there because they're just too talented not to be. But I'll save the time for the for the pick that's going to make me throw up in like 3 months.
You know the amount of people that can either clip this or we're just going to hear, no shit, three IU grads are going with the Hoosiers to win the Big Ten. But let's talk about it here. We're going to always have a segment on this show talking about IU. So get used to it if you're not already. Our Indiana Hoosiers, let's get into it. It's truly scary going into this season when IU basketball has these high of expectations. But in my opinion, they're very warranted. You have All-American Trace Jackson Davis returning alongside the glue guy, Race Thompson, with a strong and potentially deep supporting cast. You have high school teammates in Malik Renau and Jalen Hood-Schifino coming in. They're expected to have a huge role within this Hoosiers team. And hopefully you have a guy like Miller Kopp or Xavier Johnson emerge as that go-to shooter, because we all know Indiana needs shooters, and that could be the biggest issue going into this season. But I think it's a unanimous decision. We all have IU at number one and winning the Big Ten. But, Aaron, I'll open the floor to you. I'm sure you have a lot to say, probably going off my point of there needs to be a shooter on this Indiana Hoosiers team.
Well, I'll start with the bullet points in their favor. They bring back 90% of their scoring. They bring back all their experience. They probably have the best front court in the Big Ten with Race and Trace.
No doubt.
It's disgusting because I just can't believe the expectations are this high. But then you bring in, you know, Jalen Hood-Schifino. I think him and Clark are like the two for freshman of the year. Now, granted, other guys can emerge, but you bring back basically your whole team and you add 2 5-stars. I mean, again, with the conference being as down as it is, again, it's – if you're asking me right now before the season starts, they have the best roster in the Big Ten. I honestly – I don't even know if it's really that close.
I think it's close with Illinois. I think it's
depth. I don't know. With depth and all that, I don't know. But, again, the points that you alluded to are the big things. They could not – we could find some YMCA guys that could shoot better than they could last year. I mean, it was that bad. So they are going to – I mean, offense in general was a huge problem for them. Now, I think as a whole that gets better, but you got to be able to shoot the three. And Miller Kopp was an atrocity last year.
He's got to be that dude, I think.
He has to be like –
or Tamar Bates.
The guy that could shoot 40% from three – and, you know, he needs to be that.
I'll take 35% from three at this point.
Yeah, even that.
He only shot 20-something last year.
They are going to have to be, collectively as a whole, better from the three-point line. They're going to have to be. And I guess we will see what happens. But expectations, again, are high, which is gross. But, again, there are a majority of people – or not a majority, but there are a lot. I mean, I did a lot of looking.
No, I would say it's a majority of people are going with IU to win the Big
Ten. I looked at ESPN and CBS. There was a combination of like 11 or 12 analysts. All of them had IU as number one to win the Big Ten. All of them. So it's not like our expectations are.
The odds are in their favor with everything.
It is.
Everything's set up. Stars are aligned.
It's not like we're being homers. It's all there. It's on paper to start the year. No games played. They are the favorite. They deserve to be the favorite. Now, will they back it up is the million-dollar question. And yeah,
well, we're definitely not homers, because if you've listened to this show the past four seasons, we're usually a pessimist of a show and towards IU basketball.
Especially mid-season, we are.
Right.
Yeah. So, which might be the case again this year.
Nickel, there's a lot to get into. We probably will once they start playing games. Losing Christian Lander is huge. That's a huge loss for the Indiana Hoosiers. I'm kidding. I'm only kidding. But let's hear your thoughts, because, you know, we all have them winning the Big Ten.
Oh, man. I just – like I said, the stars are aligned for this team. The Big Ten's down this year. I mean, they're ranked, I think, preseason 13.
Yeah.
They're the favorites in the Big Ten. So you have no other Big Ten above them. There's not a lot of competition, I feel like, in the Big Ten this year. Like Aaron said, they return 90% of their scoring. I don't think any other Big Ten team is even remotely close to that. So, the stars are aligned. They have two great freshmen coming in. I think Jalen Hood-Schifino is going to be a day one starter at shooting guard. He can even man the point guard position. But, yeah, shooting is going to be a big thing, because we lost our best three-point shooter last year in Parker Stewart. I know he really didn't do anything else, but still lost the shooting. So you need someone like Tamar Bates, Miller Kopp to step up. Jalen Hood-Schifino, don't be upset. He's only shooting 31-30% from 3 points, this year, because he wasn't a great 3-point shooter
That's
in high
not
school.
His game.
He's not his game. So I know maybe a lot of people are going to think that, being a shooting guard coming in hitting threes is not going to happen. He might, hit one here or there, but need someone else to step up. I think that's going to be their main issue, is that some games are going to go on those droughts again, because, they're going to face a team that's guarding Trace well and can't spread the ball around and can't hit the threes and go on those 5-minute droughts. So, I like them this year, though. Like, this is probably the most, optimistic I've been since the 2015-16 season, when I was a senior in college, and they ended up winning the Big Ten that year and getting a 5 seed and beating Kentucky in the round of 32, going to the Sweet 16. I think it's a similar team. The only difference is I think that team didn't really have a great defense and had great 3-point shooting. And then this year's team is going to have really good defense and not that much great 3-point shooting. But I think it's going to be a similar style of play, similar talent-wise than that 2016 team.
I do want to bring this up because I do believe he deserves some shine. A player that we kind of were hating on at the beginning of last season that turned it around was guard Xavier Johnson. I think X has to be their leader outside of Trace to step up and be that guy. And I think he can be, because him on the dribble, he's very good at attacking the rim. He can get to the rim. I just hope he's able to consistently shoot well with that unorthodox shot that he has. But Trace Jackson Davis, All-American, going to be one of the best players in college. We've saw reports that he is working on a mid-range. You've seen clips on Twitter. It's obvious how big he is for the Hoosier success, Aaron, but do you believe that Trace can actually be a National Player of the Year candidate this year?
Oh, easily. He'll definitely be up there. Now, whether he amounts to that or not is, the better this is kind of a weird thing to say, but the better this Indiana team is, the better it is for him, because a lot of times it was just him and everything revolves around him. And granted, when you're the best player on the floor, things should revolve around you. But if you can add some continuity here where he's not the only threat on the floor to score, which we're hoping this year that he's not, then it just leaves so many opportunities for him to put up the big time stats to where he could be a National Player of the Year. Now, obviously the team has to back it up. They have to be, top 15 team maybe the whole year, or if they fall.
I think we all agreed Sweet 16 or bust with this team.
Right. So, they have to live up to the team expectations, but if this team, with the depth that they have and guys make step forward, if Tamar Bates takes a step forward, if the freshmen are as advertised,
Aaron, you talk about depth, two names we really haven't talked about, Jordan Geronimo. Going to be huge off the bench, and I don't think he's going to play, but he might have to without Michael Durr. Logan Duncan putting on a little bit of weight this offseason. Maybe he's a guy they can go to off the bench as well. Like, Indiana has options.
They have a ton of depth. They have a ton of depth, but again.
I think Jordan Geronimo, too, he's been playing a lot of the three, too, with this new team, which I think is great, because he's not a very tall guy. He's just really athletic. I think he's only like 6'6". I mean, if he can guard that three spot, I think he could be a really good three, because I think out of this IU team, the three spot or that small forward spot is the weakest part, because right now you probably have Miller Kopp starting. Don't know if he's going to go back to his Northwestern self or what. And then maybe Tamar Bates can play that too. But those are two guys. Miller Kopp, Tamar Bates are going to be huge wild cards for this IU team. I mean, you need Tamar Bates to play like a five-star like he was recruited as, because last year was not it.
Well, that's the guy that Trace even put on Twitter, the guy that's going to make the next step for Indiana, Tamar Bates. So. There's a lot of talk around him. And there's a lot of talk, too, with Schifino and Rinnow after that scrimmage that they had, that they were kind of just continuing that chemistry they had at Monteverde and taking it over here on the court against Marion, who's a nobody. But still, we're hoping that this game translate where you don't really have that freshman funk, because you're going to have non-conference games. They loaded up on non-conference games that are going to matter. They're going to be battle tested this year,
which is huge, which is something drove me insane about all their previous years, how they would play nobody in the non-conference. It's like,
that's what hurt them last year.
It kills them. It is so valuable coming into the Big Ten. Even if you lose both those games, coming into the Big Ten, battle tested, playing big games against big time opponents it's huge. So
that's, they have four quality non conference games this year. If they go 500 with those, if they go 2-2, I'd be happy.
Yeah,
I think you immediately, because you play Kansas and Lawrence, North Carolina, even in Bloomington, is going to be a tough game. You got Arizona neutral site, and you got Xavier at Xavier. So you go 2-2. You go 2-2 in those four games. I think that's a success. So I'm going to be looking for that with the non conference.
Yeah, I would say we definitely are all excited. We are hoping to attend at least one home game, hopefully against Wisconsin in January. We will see. But let's make it really quick. We're a little over an hour now. Give me a sleeper team in the Big Ten that could potentially make their way towards the top of the conference. Aaron, I'll let you go first.
Mine's Maryland. You bring in the new head coach from the Peters, St. Peter, is right, Kevin Willard.
Kevin Willard from Seton Hall.
Never mind.
They got Seton Hall's coach.
Right. Kevin Willard is at Maryland. You bring in they got a transfer from Charlotte who averaged like 20 a game. A transfer from Georgetown that averaged like 10 a game because I know they lost to Ayala. They lost their big time guys in their backcourt, but you add transfers to your backcourt. That's a team I think they bring back some experienced guys too on the front court. First time head coach at a new school. You know, he had a lot of success at Seton Hall. I mean, Seton Hall was always there in the Big East. So a team that it wouldn't surprise me if they're hanging around the bubble or, you know, first team in type of team that makes a little bit of noise in the tournament. So they're my sleeper.
Okay. Nickel?
Ooh, man, it was tough to pick this one. I'm going to go Rutgers because I think Rutgers is always a sneaky, you know, team. I know they lose Ron Harper Jr. and Geo Baker, but I think their problem was they relied way too much on Ron Harper, and he was honestly at times not a really good shooter. So they return Cliff Amore Dure. He's the forgotten big man in the Big Ten. He was great last year. He averaged 12 points a game, really good defender. And then you bring back defensive player of the year in the Big Ten last year, Caleb McConnell. I mean, really great defender. I think he averaged like 2.7 steals a game. Bring him back, and then you have Paul Mouche, who averaged 9 points a game last year, to kind of take over that role that, you know, Geo Baker had. And I think with him getting more minutes, he's going to put up a lot of points. So I would say a lot of people have Rutgers right now as kind of a bubble team, but I would not be surprised if they kind of surprised some people and became like a 7 seed in the tournament.
Okay, interesting pick. I'm going to go with the Iowa Hawkeyes. Chris Murray basically has to fill the void that was his brother. And that's big shoes to fill because we know how good Keegan Murray was at Iowa. But they're also one of those teams that's always just there, it seems like, with McCaffrey as their head coach. And obviously he's got a million sons that are going to play there. And Jordan Bohannon might find a way to play for an 8th year. We can't count him out for sure. You never really know. But, yeah, it's just hard for me to count out Iowa. So I'd say if there was going to be any team that could, you know, make some noise and be a sleeper, I'll go with the Iowa Hawkeyes. But I think that's enough for episode number one. We, you know, basically previewed every single conference here. We are, I believe, 6 or 5 days away from meaningful college basketball action. Nickel, how excited are you?
Pretty excited. College basketball, I love watching. I could just turn on a game at any given time. I have nothing else going on and watch it. I enjoy it more than the NBA. I know you guys all nailed that. And then, you know, with that in football on, it gets me through the winter. So I'm excited.
And now you'll gamble.
Yes, I will download my app next week. I'll start gambling again, try to start some winnings again. But I'm even more excited because IU is projected to win the Big Ten and should have a decent team. So hopefully they don't break our hearts again and start falling off the wagon in February.
I hope not. Aaron, any final remarks as we sign off?
I'm jazzed. Nothing gives me going jazz. Like a December night when it's 30 degrees outside on a Tuesday, nothing's going on. I turn on FS1, number 8 Creighton's playing number 12 Nova. Like, I'm just
You forgot about the Eagle Rare in your glass. You gotta have
that too. I'm
or how about a Vegas in Indiana and buddies when we're done with NetPar and go over there and watch college basketball for 5 hours.
So from NetPar to Golden Tee.
People forget we're gonna be there at MGM, IU Arizona. Let's do it. Yeah. December.
Yeah, you two will be in Vegas for that. And then hopefully, like I said, we'll be back in Bloomington sometime in January. But I think that's all we got for them. Thank you, everybody, listening. Make sure you give us a follow on Twitter at March2_Madness. And we will see you next time as our March to Madness continues.